First of all, Matthew chapter number 12, that's easy to find, Matthew chapter number 12, and then I want you to find Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah's one of the last books in the Old Testament. If you have a Scofield Bible, the book of Jonah is on page 944, but it's in the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 12, we'll go there in just a few moments. And then Jonah chapter number 1. And when I hear the pages stop turning, I'll know you're about there. But it is good to have all of our visitors. And I've got many of my family here today. And we have our Easter meal on Easter Sunday after church. And so we look forward to visiting with family every year at this time. And so I appreciate members of my family being here today, the Cornette side, mom's side. And so Matthew chapter number 12, but I'm going to start reading in Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 17. I'm going to read one verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Still a looking. It's in there, I promise you. Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given to us, and Lord, for allowing us to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for everything we've already heard and seen, and Lord, more than anything, we pray that, Lord, the Spirit of God would just be manifest in our presence today. Lord, that you would speak to hearts, use the message, Lord, for your honor and for your glory and all the singing and everything that's done. Lord, we pray for, Lord, your help here today. I pray, Lord, to be filled with thy Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd save the lost and encourage and edify the saints of God. And Lord, increase our faith and our vision in the things of God. We pray for your help today. We have many objects upon our heart. Lord, help us today as we look into thy word. I just pray that you'd make it easy. I pray you'd bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder, that he'd not be able to, Lord, keep anybody from getting what you'd have us to get out of the service today. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for each one that's here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read that verse one more time. Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 17. The Bible said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And that's what I want to preach on this morning. I want to preach on the subject of 3 days and three nights. You know, Kim and I, we went to Winston the other day to visit with Sister Jeannie, and it was last Friday. And on the way back through, we had to stop in Wilkesboro, and everywhere we went, there was just people everywhere, and stores lined out the door to get in and get out and all like that. And we kept thinking to ourselves, what in the world is going on? Why is there so many people, and why is there so many young people and everything? And we had mentioned that a couple of times, and we was getting ready to pull out of one of the parking lots. And Kim said, she said, "Well, I guess it's because it's Good Friday and school's out and a lot of people are off work." And you know, we Americans, we think and talk about how every Friday's a Good Friday. But they's talking about the holiday. You know, school was out and people were off work because it was Good Friday. And yesterday I picked up the newspaper, Winston-Salem Journal, and on the front page there was an article on there and pictures, and it said this. It said, "Christians reflect on Good Friday." Christians reflect on Good Friday, and they were carrying a cross through downtown in Winston-Salem, and a lot of churches were involved and having activities because of Good Friday, and even made the front page of the newspaper. But you know, one of the most ignorant, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but just in a sense of not knowing, One of the most ignorant statements that a Bible-believing Christian could ever make, and I've heard this several times this year, I've heard people say, Friday's here, but Sunday's a-coming. Has anybody heard that? Heard anybody say that? Friday's here. They're talking about Good Friday. Friday is here, but Sunday's a-coming. Now, verse number 17, the Bible said in the last sentence there, in chapter 1 and verse 17, it said, "And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." What if I told you that that meant that Jonah was swallowed sometime Friday evening, probably about dark, and early Sunday morning he was unswallowed out there? You know what the Bible says. Chapter 2 and verse number 10. "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." But that he was unswallowed there on early Sunday morning, and that was the 3 days and the three nights in the fish's belly. Now, if I told you that this morning, you'd look at that and you'd say, "Preacher, you can't count. That's not 3 days and three nights." If he was swallowed on Friday and he was spit out early Sunday morning out of the whale's belly there, you'd say, you can't count. That's not 3 days and three nights. And the Bible says that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. What if I told you, what if I was your employer? And I told you, now I've got a real surprise for you. Next weekend, we're going to have a 3 day weekend. You'd say, "Boy, I like the sounds of that. Everybody likes a 3 day weekend, you know, to have 3 days off and everything." And I told you, now next weekend, we're going to have a 3 day weekend, and we're going to have it. We're going to start on Friday about 6 p.m. and be back in here to work early Sunday morning, 7 or 8 o'clock, and that'll be our 3 day weekend. You know what? You'd go away and your lip would be hanging low and your face and countenance would be all sad, because you'd say, "I thought we was going to have a 3 day weekend, but that employer, he's lied to us. That's not really 3 days." Isn't that the way you'd be? Yet there are millions of Christians all around the world, and they accept and they talk about Good Friday to Easter Sunday, and the Catholics can have that, and the calendar can have that. But I'd rather look in the Word of God and see what the Bible says. And I want to show you this morning what the Word of God says, and it'd help us if we'd follow the Bible and not just the traditions of man. Now, first thing I want to show you today is the prophet of the sign. Now, there's a reason why the Bible specifies this about Jonah, verse number 17, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 12. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now look over in Matthew chapter number 12. You say at the beginning, "Well, what's that got to do with Easter? What's that got to do with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?" Matthew chapter number 12. Jonah is the prophet of the sign. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 12, let's read verse number 38 down through verse number 40. Matthew 12 and verse number 38, the Bible said, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, Jonah is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jonah himself, he had a death, a burial, and a resurrection. What Jonah went through was a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something this morning. When they threw Jonah over the side of the boat and the whale swallowed him up, none of those men on the boat said, "Well, he'll be all right," did they? Nobody said, well, maybe that whale will take him over to the land in a few days and vomit him out upon the seashore and he'll be all right. Nobody thought that, did they? When they seen that whale come along and swallow Jonah up, you know what they did? They took their hats off and put it over their hearts. Poor old Jonah, buddy, he's a goner. Jonah's dead. We'll never see Jonah again. And the storm began to cease there. But Jonah, when he was thrown over the side of that ship and the whale swallowed him up, Jonah was a dead man. And the Word of God says in the book of Jonah that that whale took him down into the depths. And 3 days and three nights later, that whale vomited him out upon the land. Now, if that's not a picture of a death, a burial, and a resurrection unto life again, I don't know what is. Jonah, in his experience, is a type of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's read verse number 40 again, what the Word of God says. It says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall, now that means it's going to be the same way. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, it doesn't matter which way you slice it up. You'll never get 3 days and three nights from a Friday to an early Sunday morning. You just cannot do it. It doesn't matter if you take parts of days, or some people say, well, that's days of. There's still, any way you look at it, you've still only got two nights and one full day. There's no way to figure it up and get it to be any other way. It's not 72 hours, it's 36 hours. If we're talking about Jesus being put in the grave Friday evening, Friday night, Friday about 6 p.m., he'd have been there Friday night, all day Saturday, Saturday night, that's just two nights and a day. You can't get three days and three nights out of Friday to Sunday morning. It just does not matter how you split it up. So Jonah, there's a reason for Jonah, and there's a reason for Matthew chapter number 12. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We have the prophet of the sign, but second of all this morning, we have the plain words of Scripture. Well, preacher, what does the Bible say about this? Well, that's pretty plain in verse 40, is it not? I mean, the Word of God says what it means and means what it says. It says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Look over in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. Now, this is important, what I'm preaching this morning. And I believe you'll get a blessing out of it before the day's over. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. The Bible said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Third day is important in the Word of God. Look in chapter 17 and verse number 23. We're talking about the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning His death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew 17 and 23, the Bible said, and they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry, the Bible says. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible said, and after 3 days, rise again. Mark chapter 10 and verse 34. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, what this means in a nutshell is that the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe the Word of God, and I do, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the plain words of Scripture, was 3 days and three nights in the grave. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday. And he was put in the tomb late Wednesday evening, or we would call it early evening, late afternoon. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday, and that he was entombed that evening, and he spent Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night in the tomb. There's your nights. Jesus' body was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the grave. And there's your days. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the grave. His resurrection was at the end of the Sabbath day on Saturday. And there's 3 days and three nights. Now, it does not say a day and a half. That's what a lot of people adhere to. It doesn't say 3 days and three nights and half of another night. That's not what the Word of God says. The plain words of Scripture are 3 days and three nights in the tomb. So we see there's the prophet of the sign, and we see there's the plain words of Scripture, and I'll show you what I just said as we go on this morning. Thirdly, this morning, there's the Passover and the Savior. Now, did you know this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, He's our Passover? That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, we know that Jesus is our Passover, but do you know this morning that He ate the Passover and became the Passover for us all in the same day? That's why the Bible says, for even Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Look over in Matthew chapter number 26. All of these events took place on the same Jewish day. Now, some of you realize this and some of you may not, but a Jewish day is not like our day. Our day ends at midnight, begins at midnight. Midnight, for us, it's the end of one day and the official beginning of another day. But if you were Jewish, and even Jews today, maybe some of you noticed this on your calendar, Saturday, yesterday, was the Passover. But if you've seen it on the calendar, it'd be on Friday, it'd be Saturday. Passover begins at sundown on Friday. Their day goes from sundown to sundown. Our day goes from midnight to midnight. And so the Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ was and is our Passover. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 17. Look what the Word of God says. The Bible says there, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto Him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And He said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with thy disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the even was come, He sat down with the 12. They were getting ready to partake of the Jewish Passover on that evening. And so they had to find a place to partake together and to have the Passover. And that's Jesus and the disciples at this certain man's house. Now, if you read and study Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter number 23, you can read about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and all of those things. But you will find out that they ate the Passover on the 14th day. Exodus chapter number 12, 14th day, they ate the Passover. The 15th day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it was a Sabbath day as well. But this day that we read about here of the Passover and Jesus partaking of the Passover, it was on the 14th day, and it was in the evening that they would partake of the Passover about 6 p.m. or about sundown. Jewish historians say that they actually killed the Passover in the very last hours of the 13th day. so that they could partake of the Passover at the very beginning hours on the 14th day. And so to us, this would have took place on a Tuesday evening, but it was their Wednesday, it was their 14th day that they would partake of the Passover. Now, look at all these things that happened on the same day. It said in verse number 20, it said, now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. That was Tuesday evening, our Tuesday evening. It was there, the beginning of their Wednesday, because it was in the evening. And the Bible said in verse number 21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And that what they were talking about eating there, they were eating the Passover. And so on the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, they had the Passover. They celebrated that together as Jews. But also, if you read on down in verse number 26, the Lord Jesus, he instituted something else. We call it the Lord's Supper. And he said in verse number 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He was talking there about the Lord's Supper. And so he instituted that on the night of the Passover, but it was something new and different and apart from and separate from the Passover. Now, look down in verse number 30. The Bible said, when they'd sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That was on that same night when they were done in the upper room. They sang a hymn together. That's what we do when we have the Lord's Supper. And when we are done remembering the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll sing a hymn. We'll go out together in the middle of the day. But they're getting ready to go out in the middle of the night. They went out into the Mount of Olives. Verse number 31, the Bible said, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Did you notice what he said there? They wasn't done. They didn't go home, go to bed. He said, all of you are going to be offended of me this night. The night wasn't over when they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so we see that the Lord Jesus went out into the Mount of Olives. Verse number 36, the Bible said, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And if we were to read on down in the Word of God, what we would find there is the Lord Jesus, his great agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Bible says that as he prayed, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And they couldn't even stay awake to pray with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't feel bad at them. We can't stay awake in the middle of the day sometimes to listen to the Word of God preach. But here they went out in the Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus is distraught. His sweat was great drops of blood falling down to the ground because he is going to be made sin for you and I. He's about to take our sins upon himself. You know, that might not bother us too much, but if you're the sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God, he's distraught about it. And he was praying about that, and we see his great agony in the garden there. If you look on down at verse number 47, he had prayed one time, two times, three times. They couldn't stay awake. It said in verse number 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And so we see here that Judas came and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ on that night. On that night, he betrayed the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we look on down in verse number 57. The Bible said, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." I don't have time to go all into this morning, but that mock trial, many Jewish laws were broken in order to get a death sentence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in a hurry to do this. And I'll tell you why they were in a hurry, because another Sabbath was about to happen. They had to get all this accomplished before that other Sabbath happened. So they had a trial and they met all night long. Did you realize that? The Lord Jesus goes into the upper room, celebrates the Passover in one evening, and before midnight rolls around, he's been betrayed. He's on trial, and they want to put him to death. He knows he's going to Calvary. You look on in the Word of God, and I'm quickly going over some things today. The trial before Caiaphas was something that lasted all throughout the night. Chapter number 27 in verses 1 and 2. Read on over what the Word of God says. "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." Things happened very quickly on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. You'll notice there in verse number 1, it said when the morning was come, they shuttled him off to Pilate. Because they had to get the death sentence from Pilate. They couldn't pass it themselves. They were under Roman rule. And so he goes to Pilate and he's put on trial there. The Bible says early in the morning. Chapter number 27 and verse number 27. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were come unto the place Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." And look what the Word of God said. "And they crucified him." All of these events took place early on that morning. And they beat and tortured and put upon trial. And all of these things the Lord Jesus Christ. And early in the morning. Do you know what the Bible says in Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, it said, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." Now, in Jewish timekeeping, that was 9 o'clock in the morning. There's 12 hours in their day, started at 6 o'clock in the morning. The third hour, by 9 o'clock in the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is upon the cross of Calvary. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." Well, I'll tell you what, to them, that was just another day's work. Because that's what they did. They just sat down and watched him there. And over in verse number 45, a little bit later on in the day, the Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sixth hour to the ninth hour is 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And our Lord Jesus Christ yielded up His Spirit unto the Father at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when He said, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. And so our Lord Jesus Christ ate the Passover one evening. And by the time the next day rolled around, the next evening, they had placed His body in Joseph's tomb. And all that took place on the same day. Jesus Christ was our Passover. He was the Lamb sacrificed on Calvary for you and I so we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Jesus gave His life. Well, what a vivid picture. What a pretty picture that is that Jesus became our Passover for us. Hey, Passover day was a work day. He did the work for us. You and I don't work our way to heaven, but God made a way by His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And He became our Passover. He ate the Passover and became our Passover all on the same day. But then there's not only the Passover and the Savior, there's the particulars of the Sabbaths. Now, look in Mark. Chapter number 15. The book of Mark, chapter number 15. I want to show you something over there about the particulars of the Sabbath. There were two Sabbaths when Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. That 3 days and that three nights, there were two Sabbath days that week. Now, I will not have time to go into it, but I would encourage you to read Leviticus 23 and Exodus chapter number 12 one more time. But there were two Sabbaths on that week. Now, the day after the 14th day. Now, the Passover was on the 14th day. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The day after the 14th day, the 15th day was always a Sabbath day. I'll read just a few verses out of Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 5 said, in the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day, that's that 15th day, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. That 15th day was an extra Sabbath day. It was not a Saturday, but it was an extra Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus became the Passover on the 14th day. And the next day was a Sabbath day. Chapter 15 of Mark and verse number 42. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 42. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus had just been crucified. They had getting ready to take His body and to bury it. And the reason is in verse 42. And now, when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, they took His body down. Now that presented a problem unto them because they could not leave a body upon the cross. They could not leave a body unburied on a Sabbath day. Now if Jesus died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the ninth hour, and He did, that meant that His body needed to be buried in about 3 hours, somewhere right around in there, by 6 p.m. Because that would start the next day, which was the Sabbath day. And it was against the Jewish law. Isn't it interesting this morning that these religious Jews, they'll take the Savior out and they'll kill Him and hang Him upon a cross. But now they want to be religious and obey the law and get that deed hidden out of sight before the Sabbath day when they can be religious. You know, as I was coming to church this morning, I'll just throw this in extra this morning. There's a lot of traffic on the road running around being religious, but I doubt many of them really care about the Lord Jesus Christ. The death and the burial and the resurrection of the dear Lamb of God, just being religious is enough for a lot of people. And they's being religious. They had to get all this stuff tied up before the Sabbath day. That was their worship day. And they didn't want to have any loose strings on this Sabbath day. Now, look, I read verse 42. Look at verse number 43. The Bible said, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now he's got an urgency about him. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead any while. Now, that's that centurion that saw him give up the ghost on Calvary, and he's the same man that said, surely this was the Son of God. He saw him die upon the cross. And this Roman centurion knew what death looked like, and so he confirmed, yes, he's dead. Verse 45, and when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Joseph had just enough time, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And so we see that Joseph was in a hurry because the Sabbath day was very near at hand. John chapter 19 and verse number 31 says that Sabbath day was an high day. And that means that it was an extra Sabbath day. They had two Sabbath days that week. And one was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what that means today is that Jesus was crucified and he was buried on a Wednesday, very late in the evening on the Wednesday. And that Thursday, that next day, was a Sabbath day where they could do no work. They were not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And so they couldn't work and get all this done on that Thursday. That Friday was a normal day. A normal work day. They could go about their business, although it was the week of unleavened bread. But that Friday was not a Sabbath day, but Saturday is always a Sabbath day. To the Jew and in the Word of God, I know sometimes Christians refer to Sunday as a Sabbath day, but technically, biblically, Sabbath day is always on Saturday. And that Saturday was another Sabbath day. So on the pillars of both sides of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, two Sabbath days. There was a full Sabbath day on the Thursday, and there's a full Sabbath day on the Saturday. Now, look over in Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28, we're talking about 3 days and 3 nights, just like the Word of God says. If you go to Matthew chapter number 28, you will find there that there are some unique things that happen in chapter number 28 that does not happen in Mark, Luke, or John. And I'm going to point those out as we read along. What happened here in Matthew chapter number 28 is when Jesus got up out of the grave. Look what the Bible said, Matthew chapter 28 in verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, that's that Saturday. The end of the Sabbath would have been around 6 p.m. on that Saturday. Late in the evening, at the end of the Sabbath, that Saturday Sabbath is just about over. And in the end of the Sabbath, now notice this language in the Bible. As it began to dawn, now we think of dawn as the sun coming up. This is not the sun coming up, this is the new day dawning. The new day to the Jews started in the evening, not in the morning. It said in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. It's almost Sunday, but it's still in the evening. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, you ought to underline that in your Word of God. Now, in the other places, they came with spices to anoint the body of Jesus because they thought, they saw where Joseph put him in these earlier chapters, and they wanted him to be buried properly, not just thrown in a tomb. But that's what they did at the beginning. They just put him in the tomb. They didn't have time to bury him according to the burial of the Jews. And so they just came down at the end of that Sabbath day to see where he was. And though that's unique to the others. And then verse number 2, the Bible said, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, this is the only place there's a great earthquake. Mark, Luke, and John, there's no earthquake. They came early in the morning. This happened that afternoon, that evening, the Saturday evening. There's a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Praise God, I like that. He came down and he rolled away the stone. And the grave was opened. Do you know, in the others, in Mark and Luke and John, when they came early on Sunday morning, they found the stone had already been rolled away. He wasn't there. The angel came here and only here and rolled the stone away, rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I like that. That's the only place in the Word of God them keepers are mentioned. And if you read on down, you'll find they run into town and told what had happened. And they gave him a bunch of money and said, if anybody says anything about it, just say his disciples came while you were asleep. See, they was expecting that word wouldn't get out till the next morning. And all that happened that evening. And all those things are unique to Matthew chapter number 28. And I like verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Hey, he wasn't there no more. He got up out of that grave. Exactly. 3 days and three nights later, you say, preacher, that messes my theology up. I'd like to imagine that he got up early on Sunday morning. Why? You want to keep him in the grave 6 hours longer than he needs to be there. 12 hours longer than he needs to be there. Hey, the Word of God said he'd be there 3 days and three nights, and exactly to the hour. The angel came and rolled the stone away and said, you're looking for somebody, but he's not here. You can come and see where he was, but he's not here. Now you women run on and tell him to go to Galilee. And he'll meet him down there. That took place that evening. All those things took place that evening. And I'm not taking away from a sunrise service if somebody wants to have one. But it's just to testify to the fact and to say to the matter, hey, when they came the next morning, he wasn't there. And the stone had already been rolled away. Exactly 3 days and three nights after that. And I like that. He is not here, for he is risen as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And I will say something last of all this morning. There's the purpose of the search. You say, preacher, why in the world does it even matter? Well, why would we take time to look over these verses? Does it really matter whether it's Friday or whether it's Wednesday? And I say it does matter. It matters because it's the Word of God and the gospel that we're to preach tells us 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. According to the Scriptures is what the Word of God says. And if we cannot trust the Scriptures concerning the details of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then can we trust them anywhere else?
I mean, if God can't get that one little detail right there. But the world is running around thinking today that Jesus died on Friday and arose on Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, the Word of God doesn't say that. But it happened exactly as the Word of God says that it did. He was 3 days and three nights in the grave. And if we can't believe the details concerning the gospel, that He rose a third day, He rose a third day according to the Scriptures is what it says. That's the gospel. You got to have Him 3 days and three nights. Hey, if that don't matter more than anything else, I don't know what matters more. But the Lord Jesus Christ was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth is what the Word of God says. Jesus died upon the cross and He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures is what the Bible says. I was reading about them poor millions that went and listened to what the Pope had to say or cared about what the Pope had to say on Good Friday. You know what the Pope's message was? I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. He said that the people upon the earth that are suffering economic hardships during these hard times can take courage in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't die upon the cross to save your 401k. Amen. You know the 401's gone and all that's left is the K, and that stands for killed. Jesus didn't die on the cross to save us from our economy. He didn't die upon the cross to save our jobs. He didn't die upon the cross to encourage us to press on during hard economic times. Jesus died upon the cross so that you and I don't have to die and go to hell. You know why it don't matter to them whether it's Friday or Wednesday or Saturday evening or Sunday morning? Because they don't have no gospel to preach anyway. But I'm telling you this morning, it's not about the economy. It's about our sins. That's why Jesus had to die upon the cross, because we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but He came, shed His blood. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb, and the reason it's borrowed, because He just needed it a little time. They placed Him in a garden tomb because what you put in a garden comes up again. And He came up again that third day. And He did all that so that you and I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. That's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You know, to some people it don't matter to them. Friday, Easter egg, Easter bunny, baskets, gifts, new shirts, new dresses, new ties. Hey, it doesn't matter to them because that's what it's all about. But I'm telling you what it's all about. It's about Him. It's about Him. It's about the preaching of the cross. It's about the good message that you don't have to die and go to hell. That's worth shouting about. That's worth rejoicing in this morning. Praise God, that's better than my new tie I fought tooth and nail to get. Amen. Took my blood to get a new tie because I reached in, grabbed a shirt, and he had a pin sticking out of it. That's the way it is. You go shopping nowadays, but I'm telling you, that is not what it's all about. It's all about the Lord Jesus, just exactly. Just exactly as the Word of God says. And I'm telling you this morning, you can put your eternal soul, you can trust your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God will never be broken. Never be broken. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.